there, I'm Bethany.
And I'm Marissa.
And we're first-time moms.
And don't forget, we gave birth during a pandemic.
We will absolutely never, ever forget about that.
So join us as we talk about all things motherhood.
And all things money.
And maybe a few other things?
Yes, please. Here we go. Hello, and welcome back to the Motherhood and Money Show. My name is Bethany Bayless.
And I'm Marissa Lida.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited for a brand new episode of the Motherhood and Money Show, where we are going to be talking about traveling with bebes.
I'm so excited for this, Bethany, because it gives me this little bit of glimmer and like light at the end of the tunnel, possibly, that we're going to get to do things like traveling
again. There is hope, Marissa. And I have had one trip with Caden under my belt, so I am now the expert.
That's
right.
I know
all the things that everyone needs to know. Just kidding. It's very much like we started a podcast with our sons only being a few months old on a podcast on motherhood, no less. So yes. I went to Texas with Caden, and there are a few things that I would recommend. I really like stressed out about it. I had a lot of anxiety. Thankfully, we made it to Texas. We made it back from Texas, and there's a few different things that I really appreciated and a couple things that I'm like, I wish we did that differently. So Learn from my mistakes.
I'm excited to hear all of this because we are planning to fly with Peter here in a few months. We're going a couple places for a couple long flights, and I'm kind of nervous about taking a toddler on a long flight. So I'm excited to hear about your experience with that.
I can't wait. But before we get to that, we do have some amazing listener notes, listener messages from our beloved listeners who have reached out to us on Instagram at Motherhood and Money Show or via our website, motherhoodandmoneyshow.com, where you can click the share a story button with us. Or if you prefer, you can send us an email at motherhoodandmoneyshow@gmail.com. Once again, so many ways to reach us. But let's read a few letters, Marissa.
That's last time we did this. I like that. Last time we did this, we were seeing the Blues Clues. We just got a letter. Anyway, that was
apparently one of our listeners reached out to us and let us know that that is no longer a part of Blues Clues.
I know,
and I'm devastated.
I am too. Peter and Caden are never gonna know.
Oh no, they're gonna know. I'm gonna dig up the old ones. I'm gonna teach them what a letter is. And to be like, this is Blue's Clues. That is not Blue's Clues. We don't know who those people are. So, Marissa, would you like to read our first
note? I would love to. Our first note comes to us from Instagram, and it is from a shop called The Simple Olive. It's now May, which is crazy because, Bethany, our boys turn one this month, which, can you believe
it? My heart literally just, like, had anxiety. It like had some palpitations.
Like, how is it May? How are boys gonna turn one? But if you
also,
think
I have
back
to plan a first birthday party. So.
That too. We should do an episode on that of our boys' first birthday party.
The next motherhood related, we should.
Yes, that'll be good.
I'm excited.
Okay, so if you think back with us to March, we did a full series called Making Money March. We talked all about different ways that you can make money, whether that's from home, starting your own business, or different things. So this message comes from The Simple Olive, and she says, I absolutely adored your Making Money March. It actually inspired me to start my own small business. I've started making custom stamped necklaces, and in 3 weeks, I have made more income with my necklace business than I make monthly as a special education teacher. Thank you for inspiring me to follow my dreams. Tuesdays are my new favorite day of the week. Thanks to you, ladies.
I love that so much. So I have to say, this is Alyssa, and I have one of her necklaces. I went and bought it because she reached out to me and let me know. She said the thing that stood out for her was when we said you could either, you know, it was actually particularly the MLM episode that we talked about. And I said something like, I know so many MLM women who hustle so incredibly hard for these MLMs. And if you used that same hustle and that same drive for your own company, that it would, you would reap all of the benefits instead of working for someone else. And so she said that really stood out to her. And look at her go. Way to go, Alyssa. I'm so happy and proud of you.
Yeah, that's crazy. In 3 weeks, made more from her business than her day job.
She's killing it too. That's the thing is like, I follow her on Instagram and I see her doing the same things she did for the MLM that she worked for. And she is hustling for herself and it is paying off so big time. So, so big time.
I like
so big time. Our next sticker. But I think that's what it is too. It's like, I see her hustling so hard and she's doing so, so good. And she's putting in the work and she has the drive and she has the energy. And I'm just really glad that she's reaping the profits from that 100%.
Yes, that's amazing. So congrats, Alyssa. If any of you have started your own business since listening to that episode, let us know. Because we
love
to encourage people who are doing that. That's so fun.
I have a letter from another listener who reached out to us through our form, our send us a stories at motherhoodandmoneyshow.com. And she says, hello, ladies. I have been a follower of Marissa's for a couple years or so now. I'm not a mom, but I wanted to give y'all's a podcast a listen because I hope to become a mom someday. I have a lot of debt from doing refinances and having private school debt. Right now, my husband and I could not afford to have a baby with us working both working full time, and we would need to find a daycare. My husband and I have had a few rough patches talking about finances, but because of listening to y'all's podcast, I decided to talk with him about it. He handled the talk way better than I imagined, and he is ready to transform our finances. Like I had mentioned before, I'm not a mom, but you ladies have some great insights on what it takes to manage your finances while having little ones. I hope to be able to write back to you all with a successful transformation story. Thank you all that you both do. Sincerely, Caitlin.
Oh, my goodness. I love hearing that.
Caitlin, thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time to write that to us.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for you and your transformation story. And I love that you talked to your husband up about getting on the same page about finances. I think that's so incredibly important and something that is really hard to do. Yeah. That's like one of the biggest arguments in marriages is about finances.
Yeah. We should do an episode on that, Bethany.
You know we will, Marissa. We should bring in a really smart person who knows a lot about relationships to talk that? About this. Who,
is that us?
We'll find someone. but I appreciate that, Caitlin. And we are rooting for you. You're doing amazing. Yes. Way to go. Way to think about it. I feel like that's the first step in a very long journey is to start.
Yep. And you're building the foundation with that. So
yeah. You're awesome, Caitlin. Way to go.
So the next letter that we have is from Beth. And she says, it's not Bethany.
No,
it's someone else named Beth. She says, first of all, I love sinking funds. I started one for Christmas presents after feeling like our December budget was always a wreck and learned from Marissa's budgeting videos that I can use one for literally everything. It's the best. I actually have a question for you all. What do you do with any leftover money from your sinking funds? For example, through the year, we save $500 on Christmas presents, but only use $450. Would the $50 roll over next year or reallocate to a different savings area? Should we pause? I think we should pause and maybe try and answer this question.
Sure.
And then
what do you do personally?
There's more to this.
Yeah.
So my advice is that you can literally do whatever is going to make the most sense for you. And that's the thing about sinking funds is that there's not really a right or wrong. You just should do this of whatever makes most sense for you and what you feel comfortable with. For us personally, we did have a surplus for Christmas for this last year. So I just took the money out and put it to something else for that month because we had a surplus. But if Christmas is always like a big thing for you and you just want to roll, you want to keep rolling over that money, then you can totally do that. But I think Christmas is one of those specific things where you're like saving for something very specific that's going to come at like a specific time. So you may see that like, oh, you're over or under for the year. So I think my advice is just do whatever you feel most comfortable with. If you like the idea of having an extra $50 to start the next year off with, then then great. Maybe that means that for the next year, maybe overall for the next year, you have to save $50 less because you already had money in there. So yeah. What do you think, Bethany?
Well, and it, like you said, it totally depends on what it is. So mm-hmm. sometimes we roll over, like sometimes we're like, oh, we'll just use that next time. Or like, we won't take out as much money this month for that. So mm-hmm. rolling over is one. But then sometimes like we kind of are stockpiling cash for in a sinking fund. Then we're like, you know what? We're getting really ahead on this. Maybe we can yeah. kind of cut back or even mm-hmm. pause that sinking fund for just a little bit. So yeah. if you kind of like look and you have the sinking fund that you haven't really been taking from and you have like $5,000 in there or something, then that might be something you're like, hey, maybe we can pause this and just reallocate these things to something else for a little bit. And then when it's time to start that up again, then go back to it.
Yeah. She also says, similarly, what do you do when you go over on the sinking fund? For example, spend $550 on Christmas presents when you only have $500. Does that just come out of your monthly budget? So for this, I actually will add more to my sinking fund that month if it ends up being a really big overage. For those of you who watch my YouTube channel, I share my monthly budget every month. And I will say that the budget report for April was pretty gnarly, and there were a lot of things that we overspent on. Bethany, I'm going to be super transparent here. Some things that were a little
rough. We are transparent. This is a no shame zone, Marissa. Yes.
Thank you, Bethany. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
I appreciate that. But that being said, we also had some sinking funds that we spent way too much money out of the sinking fund than what we had in it. So for the month, I did have to put more money into those sinking funds to be able to cover some of those expenses that came out of it. So yeah, I just would add an extra $50 to that or whatever at, for the December budget to make up for being over on that, if that makes sense.
And the nice thing about that too is like the purpose of sinking funds is just so it doesn't blow up your budget.
Yes.
So like, wouldn't you rather have like a $50 thing that you kind of like need to work out and find somewhere in your budget as opposed to like $1,000 that you kind of have to come up with? Mm-hmm. So like sinking funds are just kind of meant to lessen the blow of a big expense that's coming up that you weren't planning for, that wasn't in your budget. And sometimes it's better to have a little bit to figure out and not a whole lot to figure out.
Yes, exactly. And that's the whole purpose of sinking funds. So, mm-hmm.
So you're doing great, Beth.
Yes, definitely customizable of however you need it to fit your lifestyle and your budget, which mm-hmm. is what we love about sinking funds.
Personal finances are personal.
That's right. Beth also says, also a side note that I love all of the content Marissa produces and now love Bethany's as well. When I tell my husband things I learned from Marissa's content, I literally just say, guess what I learned from Marissa today? And he completely knows who I'm talking about. Yikes.
I just want to say Beth said that, not Marissa. That was in the email that Beth wrote.
Yikes. She says, we also probably live 10 minutes from you all in Beaverton, so I'm planning on saying hi if I ever see you in public in a non-creepy way, of course. Love all the Portland friends. She says, thank you for all that you do. So that's very sweet, Beth. I hope that we do get to run into each other in public. I did, Bethany, have my first encounter with someone, with a subscriber, a couple weeks ago, and it completely made my day, if not my week. It was so wonderful. Totally unexpected.
So much. So,
if you ever happen to see me in public in Portland, come say hi. That's all. And if you see Bethany in LA with all her movie star friends, then go say hi.
Right. All my movie star friends. The red glasses will give me away. Yes. But I do that with a podcast that I listen to. I listen to My Favorite Murder, and they live in LA, and I know all the places that they go to. We fly out of the same airport. Like all this stuff that I am constantly on the lookout, and I keep thinking, like, how do I approach them in a non-creepy stalker fan way? So as people approach you, Marissa, let me know what works best.
Okay, girl. Thanks. I'll keep you posted.
We'll do an episode on it. Just kidding. We will not. Speaking of which, let's get to our first question, and we're going to make it really quick, a quick and easy first question before we get to the rest of traveling with babies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bethany, what is your dream travel destination?
Ooh, I love this one. All right. So on my bucket list right now, I would love to go to Bora Bora.
Mm.
or somewhere like that, like somewhere tropical and
yeah,
like far away and just, you know, something like Bora Bora or the Maldives or Tahiti or something like that, where we could have like, it's a dream, right? We're dreaming here. So I want to like over the water bungalow kind of thing is on my bucket list right now.
Yes.
What about you, like Marissa?
Well, I would definitely love my stay in the overwater bungalow. That's definitely a dream. But I also would really love to go to Europe. I've never been very far in my travels. I've been as far as Mexico with my church bus, went to Mexico for a missions trip, and as far up to like Vancouver, Canada, also driven across the border. So I would love to be able to travel more internationally, and I'd love to be able to go to Italy. I want to see Rome, Florence, just do like all the Italy things.
Bucket list. We're going to do episode on traveling too. Man, this podcast isn't ending anytime soon. I feel like we have so much to talk about.
We do. So let's get into it, Bethany. You recently went on a trip.
I did. Yes. We went to the grand old state of Texas. Shout out to the TX because everyone wants to move there.
I know. I've Bethany's secret. I've been maybe not a secret. I don't know. I've just been trying to like put a bug in Jacob's ear. I'm like, hey, maybe we should move to Texas. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do the heat. That's as big of a secret since you talked about it on your Instagram stories.
Okay, fine. It's not that much of a secret. I don't think we're planning. I know. I don't think we're actually planning to move to Texas anytime right now, but it's a dream. Maybe someday we would.
Travis and I look at Zillow all the time.
Oh,
and
we
look across the country and we dream about the massive mansion we could buy in Texas.
Oh,
but then
gosh.
Again, all the Texans, especially the ones listening to us, I'm sure, hate Californians.
Yep.
Because we come out and raise their market because we're like, $300,000 for a house? I'll give you $400,000. And it raises the market because people are like, that's so freaking cheap. And then everyone else is like, no, it's not. And then, that's so I'm sorry, Texas, on behalf of California.
Yeah, and all the other West Coasters who are moving there as well.
Everyone else is drowning.
Yes.
Not really. But
anyway, besides the point, Texas seems awesome. So you went and visited. Right. And where did you go in Texas?
I was in the Fort Worth area. We were up in Keller specifically. But we flew southwest into Dallas Love Field. If everyone is looking for specific details, that's
very specific details. What was your seat number, Bethany?
It was Southwest, so I got to pick it. And this is actually interesting. So this kind of leads into one of my points. On our first trip out to Texas, we had a layover. So we had two flights that day. We had a layover in Phoenix that was like 2.5 hours long. So it was a very long layover. Yeah.
To get to from LA to Dallas?
There are direct flights. We just like flying cheap.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
So, there are, we don't mind a layover every once in a while. But on the way out, we tried the back of the plane.
Oh, okay. Yes. Please tell me about this.
So the back versus the front. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, some people swear by one or the other. And then other people believe that over the wing is better because it's louder. So this really is up to you. It kind of depends on what your comfort level is. So the first time out, we did the back of the airplane. I have to say it's very nice being so close to the bathrooms. So if you have to change the baby really quick, you can just pop into one of the back bathrooms. That's really nice. The other nice thing is that we were the last ones to get off the plane, so we could take our time. Like we didn't feel rushed. We didn't feel like there were people waiting for us in the back of the airplane. That was really nice. The con was that we were bringing on a car seat. And so I had to lug the car seat by myself because my parents went on before me. Oh, I had my parents help me, by the way, both of them on the way out. They were both, everybody had their own job. But so I had to like pull the car seat all the way through. And that was a little bit obnoxious. And I hit a lot of people. And then I like swung my backpack around because I was wearing Caden's diaper bag and I hit people. So that wasn't very fun. And then the other thing is that we got yelled at by a flight attendant because he was like, could we please get off the plane?
Oh, my goodness.
We were trying. I'm sorry. But on the way back, we sat at the front of the airplane. It was just me and my mom. We had a system down.
And Caden.
And Caden. Oh, yeah. He was there, too. Mm-hmm. Yes. But my dad wasn't flying back with us. So I only had one helper instead of two helpers. So we decided to sit at the front of the airplane because we had a little bit shorter of a layover. So we didn't have as much time to get off the plane. And I have to say, I think I prefer the front of the airplane.
Really? Okay.
It was nice being one of the first people off because we kind of got everything ready to go. If you sit at the very, very front in the bulkhead, you have to put all of your stuff in the overhead compartment, but there's a lot more room. So we were able to kind of like put things away and kind of get the car seat in its case and like all this stuff in order for us to get off the plane first. And then it's also just kind of really convenient of being like the first people, off. And I don't know. I kind of like the front.
Okay.
And there's also a bathroom right there. So yeah, but I didn't have to use the bathroom once.
Okay. So. I guess this all depends on the airline that you fly with because I've never flown Southwest, but here in Portland, most people fly Alaska Airlines everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I know that Alaska does like, you know, first class, and then they have like premier or whatever, premium
like
seating.
Premium economy or something.
Yes, premium seating. And then economy doesn't start till like basically at the wing. That's where economy starts. So that's – I've been struggling with – or not struggling. That sounds like very dramatic. But trying to figure out like, oh, where do we want to sit on the flight? Because if we sit at the front of economy, that's like in the middle of the plane. Do I want to sit in the middle of the plane? I don't know. So I've been thinking more of like booking it at the back. But – and also wondering if at the back of the airplane, are there fewer people back there? So would I feel less overwhelmed if Peter started like – having a tough time or something, like if there would be fewer people in the back of the plane?
It totally depends on the airline, because on one flight we had 36 people on 150
passenger plane.
And then the other one, every single seat was taken.
Really?
So it really just depends on like the flight of the day and kind of like how many people are there. Something that I did not do, but I've heard of other people doing before, is if you're worried about your baby kind of crying and being upset, I know someone who made little like packets, little gift bags for the people sitting around them. And it was just a little note that says, "Hi, my name is Peter. It's my first flight. I might be a little bit upset. Here are some earplugs and some treats to thank you for being nice," or something like that. And it was like earplugs and candy and gum and mints or like whatever it was, is kind of like a little happy. And then they gave it to the flight attendants as well.
Yeah.
And then something else that I did, like walking through the airport, I said, "Hi, this is my very first time flying with a baby. So I might need a little bit of extra help. Could you help me? Could you help explain these things to me?" And everyone was super kind about it.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. So that's one thing of flying with a baby. People will give you eye rolls and people will sigh. Oh, yeah. It's so annoying.
Oh, that's so – I'm nervous for all of that kind of stuff. But
what I did was I kind of practiced ahead of time maybe what I would say. Of just like, "Hey, this is our first time flying. He's not really used to it." Or if someone's like, "Will you please tell him to be quiet?" Like, it depends on the person and how rude they are. I had multiple responses ready. And my other response was, "He has every right to talk just as much as you do."
There you go. Did you ever run into anyone rude who said something like that?
There was kind of a couple. He was really loud when we were waiting to board the plane. And one woman was like, "Ugh, there's too many families on this plane." And I just kind of like was like, okay. I didn't say anything back to her, but it was just like, you know, that one of my other responses was going to be, and this is my favorite one so far. I haven't actually used it in person yet, because we went to a restaurant a while ago and someone was complaining because Katie was just talking. Like, he's just kind of la, 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 you know, like his little baby talking. And this woman kind of like sighed and rolled her eyes. And had I had the presence of mind to say this, I would have, because I, you know, looking back, hindsight is 20/20. So I'm practicing. But it's just like, I know, he's such a baby. He really is the worst. I mean, so juvenile, which is very sarcastic.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are my three responses.
That's so funny.
It's better than "You're a jerk."
Okay. So as far as buying a seat, on the plane. All right. Did you get Caden his own seat, or what did you do for booking?
All right. This is a really big question, right? Because a lot of people, like, it's expensive to buy a seat and babies fly for free. Mm-hmm. So why buy a seat? There are pros and cons to both of this. I would say the pro is that, and I have to say, Caden had a seat on all of these flights, but it was special because when I was flying a lot for work, I earned a companion pass with Southwest. That's why I fly them so much, is because mm-hmm. we're like, pick one airline and become a loyal member, because then you get perks. And it's really
that's
nice.
What we are with Alaska.
Mm-hmm. And so one of my perks was that I earned a companion pass, which meant that someone could fly with me for free. And Travis has been designated as my companion pass for like as long as I've had it. I've had it about mm-hmm. 4 years. And thankfully, they extended the companion pass until the end of this year because mine was supposed mm-hmm. to expire. And obviously, I didn't do a lot of traveling in 2020.
Yeah.
So I ended up just making Caden my companion.
Okay.
So he could fly for free, which apparently I'm like the only person to have ever done that, because everyone had to keep checking that he could fly with me.
Oh,
as
really?
Because technically, he's a lap child.
Yes.
So I was able to get him a designated seat for free. And so mm-hmm. because I was able to do that, like, traveling with a seat is so much easier for a couple of reasons. First of all, I was able to put his car seat in. So that's one thing. If you want to travel with a car seat, we bought a relatively inexpensive, lightweight travel car seat. Mm-hmm. And I can link to that on our show notes. There are a couple different kinds that you can do. But we got a lightweight travel car seat. And then I ended up going a little bit and splurging just a little bit extra to get a padded wheeled cover for it.
Oh.
So it was padded, it protects it. So if it did have to go under the plane for whatever reason, it would be a little bit more protected. Mm-hmm. And then also I was able to wheel it through the airport, which was super mm-hmm. nice. It also has backpack straps. So okay. Like, my dad strapped it to his backpack at one point, but it's big. Like, you are traveling with like another body, basically.
Yeah. It's large.
But when we sat at the front of the airplane, it was so much easier to put in, and you just you'd strap the seatbelt through the belt path in the front. So I was able to have mm-hmm. him rear facing. He was facing me. And the benefit of that was that he's strapped in there. So he's not like trying to crawl on us. He's not trying to, like, because he's such a busy boy. He just wants to be everywhere and doing everything. I just didn't feel like he was going to fall asleep if he was like so excited about everything around him. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice because it's a little bit like he knows what it's like to sit in a car seat. Mm-hmm. So he was able to – he fell asleep on every single flight.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I think part of that is because he had a car seat. Like, he's comfortable. He falls asleep in the car. He knows what it feels like. So he was able to just fall asleep.
I feel like it is really nice being able to have them have, like, a designated spot.
Right.
Because if you're – like, those airplane seats are so small and in – like by themselves, like even just flying by yourself, you're like, oh, my little tray and my stuff underneath, and it's like all cramped. And it, like, trying to do that with also having like a baby on your lap or a toddler on your lap.
Well, and I think just because of Caden's age, it was the best thing. So if Caden was younger, because I had planned on traveling with him at 5 months, I had work trips planned. Like, if he was younger, I could probably just strap him to me and he might fall asleep.
Yeah.
So the only thing is that you're not allowed to have a baby strapped in on takeoff and landing. So you would have to take him out of like the wrap or the carrier or whatever for takeoff and landing, and then you could put him back in. But that was like, I think, just a really big benefit, is having the car seat and him kind of being a little bit more comfortable. But if you can't afford another seat to like wherever, because like we're traveling to Europe, I don't know if I want to buy another airfare to Europe just so Caden can have his own seat, then we would figure it out. And he could, mm-hmm. you know, he does fall asleep on me. And that's something else that I would add, is I wore a baby wrap the whole time in the airport. Mm. So I used, I can link to the one that I have. I think it was Argo was what it was called. And I just kept it on me the whole time. And I was able to put him in it, because it's so nice to have your hands free when you're putting up the backpack and your carry-ons and like all the things, and waiting for him in line. There was once where they like called everyone to board. We were waiting to board, and then they were like half an hour delayed. So we were all just standing there for 30 minutes. And Caden, because he was just strapped to me, he fell asleep. So he fell asleep while we were waiting. I put him at transfer to his car seat. He fell asleep on the plane. So I highly recommend having like a carrier or something where you would be able to have your hands free to carry things.
My goodness. I literally, side note, I literally can't imagine.
Just falling asleep everywhere.
Sorry, Marissa.
No, it's totally fine. If you guys are new here, Bethany's son, Caden, does he still take 2 2-hour naps?
Yes, he does. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I'm
my so gosh. Sorry. It's just insane. And Peter, like, just would not nap if I wouldn't put him down.
Didn't he take a long nap today, though?
He did. He didn't sleep very well last night. But so he took, like, a 2-hour nap today, which was insane. But normally
what did he do with yourself?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we were getting ready to go to the zoo. So it's always – doesn't it always seem – okay, probably not for you because Caden always takes long naps. But for anyone else out there whose babies don't normally take long naps, you get the long nap in when it's, like – you're waiting around for them to wake up because you got to, like, go do something.
You're like, you were supposed to take a 15-minute nap. Come on, let's go. Wake up.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
Anyway, so Peter, I don't know. That's what I'm also nervous for. Okay, I haven't really shared where we're going, but I don't – because it's not really a secret. But we're going to Hawaii. And so from Portland, that's a 6-hour flight. And I'm nervous because Peter is not a super great napper. But also, if he doesn't nap, he's totally happy. He's totally fine, which I know there's kids out there who don't nap and then, like, complete meltdown because they didn't get a nap, whereas Peter is just still fine. So I hope that worst case scenario, if he doesn't nap on the plane, he's just going to be, like, just kind of tired but not, like, grouchy about it. Right. So
here are some tips for kids on the plane, though, that I learned. All right.
Okay.
Number one, snacks.
Oh, yes.
So I have seen on Pinterest, you know, like the multi-compartment where people put, like, their sewing equipment and stuff. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they're kind of like plastic containers that have, like, a lot of mini containers inside of them. Mm-hmm. And I have seen people just fill that up with completely different snacks, like Goldfish and well, I mean, this is probably for little older children, but M&Ms and, like, different things. So snacks is one of them. And then this is a shame-free podcast, right, Marissa?
Of course it is, Bethany.
Okay. So don't at me, anyone, but my desperate, like, worst-case scenario was I got Caden baby headphones – and I had an old iPad and I put on his little songs and he watched that for one of the flights. He watched it for like 30 minutes and was perfectly content.
Yeah, that is great. We talked about we want to buy like an Amazon kids Kindle thing.
The Fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the time that Peter, I mean, he doesn't do like any screen time now. So I don't even know if he's going to be interested at that point, but maybe we'll see.
Well, Caden likes super simple songs because we listen to it in the car. So he kind of like, he knows the songs. He enjoys them. He likes watching them. We do not stick him in front of the TV a lot.
Yeah.
That's not like our go-to. It's like if we're together or we're listening to it around the house or whatever. But I practiced with him ahead of time. I put the headphones on him while he was in his like little play area and like showed him that this is like you have to listen to these in order to watch the iPad. And I didn't go buy him an iPad. We just – it was laying around the house. So that is
you
my –
you would go buy your one-year-old son a brand new iPad, Bethany.
I mean –
you budgeted for it. Exactly.
We did not. So that was, you know, something that, again, no shame. Yeah. No shame. And it worked.
Love it. Okay. So as far as our trip goes, since we are taking a 6-hour flight, it's an expensive, you know, decently expensive trip to go to Hawaii. We do use, like I said, we fly Alaska Airlines for everything. We have their credit card, which gets a companion fare every year. So we are using our companion fare with that.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I'm using it for like Jacob and I to go for the cost of one. But therefore, we decided that we are not going to buy Peter his own seat on the plane because of that cost. Like, I don't really want to spend $800 on that. But here's what we did, and I don't know if this is actually going to work. I've never done this before, so let me know if anyone has and it's worked for you.
But give us your tips.
We booked. These are my tips that I've never proven to be working. So take that for what it's
worth. Hypothetical.
It's all hypothetical.
We'll report back to you in a part two on this after Marissa has gone to Hawaii.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So I booked the seats towards the back of the plane within the last like three-ish rows. And I booked us a window and an aisle seat.
Oh.
In the hopes that no one would want to book the middle seat on the back of the plane.
Oh, tell me how that goes.
So I'm very interested to, well, we'll see what happens, but my hope is that no one will sit there.
Here's something else you can do is when you check into the flight, just say like, mm-hmm. Hey, there's three of us. Is there any way that you could, like, the person sitting in between us, like, mm-hmm. is there any way we could move them to a different seat or like, yeah. or call customer service or something. I'm just like, we're, you know, like if it's at every flight, every seat booked, we understand, like we yeah. totally understand that. But like, if there are empty seats on the plane, is there any way that you could get that? Like, I don't know. It's one of those things of like, it's a gamble, but yes. hopefully.
Yeah. But also like worst case scenario is someone ends up being in our row and then we can just say, hey, we're together. We'll swap you the middle seat. Cause no one wants the middle seat anyway. Right. And so they're like, it'll all be, no. This is my middle seat. Yeah, exactly.
I paid for this middle seat.
Yes. I know. So yeah. that was another reason why we wanted to kind of move to the back of the plane. Cause I think if someone needed to get a middle seat, they would probably want to get it towards more the front of the plane. Cause more people like to sit towards the front.
I know right? that someone listening to this right now is just like itching to tell us something. So if that is you and you're like, oh, I have a tip, please reach out to us on Instagram.
Yes.
Or send us an email or go to our website because we want your travel tips. We want mm-hmm. to know what your opinions are on this because I think that, I don't know, I've never traveled with a lap child before.
Yeah.
Because it really was like so convenient to have him have his own seat. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's the other thing is like if you have points for a certain airline, maybe consider booking your child on points mm-hmm. or if it's a cheaper airfare or travel on a cheaper airline so that you could get that, you know, maybe it's a little bit more expensive on another airline. So you go to a slightly cheaper one so that you could get like three seats. But if not, like, you know how many people have survived a flight with a lap child?
That's right. I have to remind myself that.
A lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Yes. Yes. And that being said, I know that you can check your car seat like mm-hmm. at the gate mm-hmm. if needed. So I was actually just talking to my mom about this. She was like, I was thinking I should get like a grandma car seat for Peter to be like, we have a really nice car seat in our car for Peter, mm-hmm. but she would get like something – you know, safe, obviously, and but like cheap or whatever to keep in her car. And she was like, and then if you want, like we could use that, like, you know, when you like go to Hawaii and everything.
I was That's like, a oh, great that would idea.
Be a great option. So I think like what we would do is take it through the airport or whatever. And then if it ends up that we have that seat available, then we could take it on the plane with us. If it ends up that we can't, then we can just check it at the gate there.
Yeah, so. At the gate. And I would recommend, like we did spend, it was about $50 for a padded
yeah.
car seat cover. I would recommend that one just because it has a little bit more structure to it mm-hmm. and it just keeps it a little bit more protected. But that's a great, we did the same thing, was the travel car seat is the one that goes in Travis's car. Mm-hmm. So like it's not like his main one that he's in all the time. It's not the one that he uses the most, but it's one that we have as kind of like an extra car seat that we can take with us. Mm-hmm. And then my mom kind of did something similar with the stroller. So she wanted to have a stroller at her house. And then also we wanted a stroller to take to Disneyland.
Oh,
that was specifically for Disney because your Disney strollers have to be a certain size.
Mm-hmm. Does the Vista not fit at Disney?
I think it does. Like we have, like we took it when there weren't restrictions though, because of COVID okay. and like all the yeah. things, but it is kind of nice to just have like a one that like you wouldn't want stolen.
Yes. That's
not true. That anyone would steal it, but you know, we're just kind of like, if we lose this one, we don't have to go pay a ton of money to go get another mm-hmm. one. But we got a lesser expensive one. Well, lesser expensive. Yeah. A cheaper one. Mm-hmm. It's still really great quality. But the thing that I love about this, it is a travel stroller. And this, I highly recommend. A travel stroller, it's a little bit more compact. And the thing I love about it is you can collapse it with one hand.
Oh, okay.
So there's like a button and like a thing, like there's a slidey thing and then a pull button that you pull with your fingers and then it can collapse with one hand. And that was like clutch because I'm carrying Caden. Mm-hmm. Like he's strapped to me. I have my diaper bag. I have my purse. And then I have this car seat. And then I have the stroller. And yeah. So I was able to collapse it with one hand. Super simple. Like collapse, go. And so I highly recommend that. I will link to the one that I have. There's some really inexpensive options on Amazon too. Like
yeah.
You don't have to go spend like a ton of stuff. But like if you're going to – if you know that you're going to travel more, mm-hmm. you might want to invest in just a couple little things here and there that would just make it a little bit easier. But if not, like all of your normal stuff will work too.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So did you also check your stroller at the gate as well?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We checked. And was it easy to get it like when you got off the plane and everything? Like it was just sitting there or?
When you sit at the back of the airplane, it's probably been sitting there for 15 minutes because it took you yeah. so long to get off the plane.
Okay.
But when we were the first ones off the airplane, I did have to wait for it just a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't terrible. Like I just kind of like waited to the side while people got off and then they gave it to me and then you
okay.
go. So it just kind of depends on the people in the airport and all the things. But I will say when we were the first ones off the plane, it did take just a little bit longer.
Mm, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. I do have one other tip. And again, I haven't flown before. So, man, I'm really just sharing some great tips for having never
yes!
flown for the baby. But I have a tip for you, Bethany. I'm
ready for it.
This is at least what I plan to do. So, you know, when you're getting ready to board the airplane,
mm-hmm.
the whole process of boarding takes so long. It's like, what, you know, at least like a half an hour to board the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they always like do their first – like the first people who they allow to board, they say like, if you have small children, like you can now board the plane. Which when I think of that, it's like, I don't want Peter to sit on this plane for another half an hour longer than what he needs to.
Mm.
Okay. So here's my thought. I'm going to be traveling with like Jacob and I are going to be traveling. So when they say, if you're traveling with a small child, you can now board the plane. I send Jacob on with our things and he can go on and like, wipe down the seats with Clorox, you know, do all the stuff, put all of our things up above and just get the seats ready for us. And then I will not board that plane with Peter until they're like, final call to Hawaii.
Gosh.
And then I'll be like, okay. And then I'll walk on to have like to spend the least amount of time on that plane as possible.
That is such an interesting idea. Like that thought never crossed my mind.
Okay.
But I think part of it is because they're different airlines. So the mm-hmm. thing with Southwest is it's first come, first serve. And so they.
That sounds stressful.
It's so funny. Like the other way sounds stressful to me.
Oh.
Because like you get to choose your seat when you walk on. But my mom has like, she has even better perks than I do. So she goes on the plane first, saves our seats.
Okay.
And then we go on with family boarding, which is after the first boarding group.
Mm, okay.
And so when we go on with family boarding, we get everything situated. We get his car seat good to go, kind of like all of that stuff. So it's kind of similar to what you're talking about. Like he's not yeah. the first one on the airplane. And it is nice to kind of travel with someone who can go ahead of you and save seats
mm-hmm.
Or get the seats ready. And then, yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah, that's my plan. Just because like spending 6 hours on a flight – like I was talking to another friend who has kids who are a little bit older, and she was giving me some tips too for flying. And she was basically saying like every minute you're on that flight, it's like you are just elongating every single activity to make it last as long as possible. And I'm sure we're going to experience this as we, you know, take a toddler on the plane, but like have activities and like things for him to do, but literally like making it last as long as possible. Like the one thing that I remember she said was when she was traveling with like toddlers, like preschoolers, or whatever, she got like a little canister of mini M&Ms. And she was like, instead of just being like, oh, here's a fun sugary snack or whatever to get you through, instead of just like opening it all up and just eating them all at once, she'd be like, okay, we're gonna shake the container 3 times and now open it and take one out. Oh, look, it's green. We eat it, we close it, we shake it 3 times, we open it. Oh, what color? So she was like, you basically just have to think of ways that you can make every activity
it all
exactly
out.
Exactly. Because
oh my goodness.
Yeah, because I can totally see you like get through all your stuff and you're like, oh, well, that was the first, you know, 45 minutes of our flight and now we're here for another 5 hours. So perfect.
Yeah. I love all of these ideas. And as Caden gets older, I love the idea of like what my mom used to do for us, because we traveled a lot. We moved a lot. So we were in the car a ton. And she would give us special little presents like every 15, 45 minutes, every hour or something like that.
Yeah.
And they could just be like these tiny, stupid little things. But like if you behave and you're doing – if you're doing a great job, then you get your present. Yeah. And I just remember some of the little games that she got us and like the little toys that we had. And I remember it being like, oh, well, we have to make sure that we're good so we can get our present. Mm-hmm. But then – again, it doesn't have to be super expensive. Just go to like the Dollar Tree and find little books or little things that you can give them as little rewards along the way.
Well, and even just new toys are more interesting and fun to play with. So yeah, just going to Dollar Tree and getting things that baby hasn't seen before and then may have a little bit more interest in it when you're on a long flight.
Well, and one of the other things that I recommend too is like snacks is a really big thing. Like they love eating. Like, Julian loves eating. And so, like, there was one point where, like, I was just feeding him one Bamba at a time, which Peter can't have because they're coated in peanut butter. But, like, one at a time. And he would be like, take it and, like, eat it. And so I just made sure I had a lot of snacks. And then I used my formula dispensers. Because here's another thing is that little babies' ears are not used to the pressure differences. And so you want them to be either drinking or eating or something on takeoff and landing. So a really good tip. And again, like if Caden was younger and I was nursing, I would plan to nurse him on takeoff so that he just kind of is sucking and like his ears are popping. But thankfully, and I'm sorry again, Marissa, Caden took a pacifier. And so I just popped in his pacifier and it worked like a champ. But something else I recommend is bringing like a sippy cup or a bottle or nursing him on takeoff and landing so that his ears can pop while you're doing at least those things.
Anyway, I will say that's the thing that Jacob is most nervous about. He's like, I just don't want him to be in pain with his ears on the plane. And yeah, so we'll definitely need to do more research into
And Caden like was not phased.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's really encouraging.
He was not phased at all. So maybe you should syringe feed Peter some water on takeoff and landing so that he can at least – all he just needs to do is to suck and to swallow.
Yeah. Yeah. He does do a little straw, so maybe we could do that. But – and we do have a few more months too, so hopefully we'll be. Oh yeah, and
he'll be a little bit older by there by then.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's fun because I'm flying again next week.
Okay, so then you'll have more tips for us, Bethany.
I'm taking all these tips, and we'll see. Caden might just freak out on a plane, and I will have much better tips for everyone. Because, well, and something else that we always fly with is my busy baby.
Oh, Matt. Yeah. You're Matt.
We took that.
You should be a spokesperson for them.
I have talked about them multiple times in my stories, and they always re-story me or mention me. Cute. What is it? What do you do when someone mentions you in your stories and then you like put it in your stories? What is that
called?
You share
mention? It. Yeah. Mention it.
They always re-mention me in their stories. So busy baby, I swear by them. They're amazing.
It's so good. Bethany, what other things did you bring that were really helpful for you on the flight?
So a few different things that I wanted to make sure I did not forget was it kind of gets cold up in the air. And so I made sure Caden had socks on. Like that was like, he must be wearing socks. His little toes cannot handle the cold. He will be very uncomfortable. Yes. And then I also brought like our milk snob cover. So that he would kind of have his legs wrapped. Because if I could keep him like warm and cozy, I feel like that would make him fall asleep. It's if he was nice and warm. So I highly suggest bringing those things. And then I, just to make things more convenient, we brought our formula dispenser and made sure that we had six bottles, which maybe was too much. But then we just filled up two formula dispensers with six bottles worth of formula.
Okay.
So, and then with that, like I set a timer on my watch to make sure that I was remembering to feed him with like all the stuff going on, like going on different planes and sitting in layovers and like all this stuff, just so that I didn't forget, because I have very few brain cells left as a mother. I would just set my timer for like three and a half hours and try to make sure that I was feeding him that often.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And then also like just a sippy cup. I brought the Honey Bear sippy cup that we use for mm-hmm. him. The only thing is that the pressure made it leak a little bit. So I made sure that I had like napkins sitting around it just because like that stuff, it leaks under pressure sometimes.
Yeah. Under pressure.
Versus, I've decided that this is now a musical podcast. We will be performing every episode of all the songs that come up in our brains.
So good. Okay, Bethany, I have one more question.
I'm ready for it, Marissa.
Did you have to change Caden's diaper on the plane? How was that experience?
Oh, okay. I was ready for this, right? Like, I expected Caden to have blowouts every flight. So I had multiple changes of clothes, multiple diapers at the ready. He did great. He did not have any blowouts. However, this is a tip that I loved. Look for the family restrooms in the airports.
Okay.
They are there and they are amazing. So they'll say family restroom, and then a lot of times you can go to the bathroom. They'll have changing pads, special sinks, and it just kind of feels like there's not as much pressure. Like there's not people behind you. You don't have to wait for that one stall with the baby changer. Just look for the family restrooms, and there we found them in every airport. So I don't know if it's a requirement for that to happen. You might have to wait for another family, but I highly recommend waiting because it was really nice to be able to just like change him in there. He got a diaper change if he needed a change of clothes. We did it in there, and some of them even had showers. Not that you're going to shower in the airport, but if your child has a blowout and needs a little bit extra water to clean themselves, there you go.
That's a really fun fact, Bethany.
I mean,
thank you for sharing that. Okay.
Anyway, that's so look for the family restrooms. I love family restrooms.
I guess this is something that we're going to frequent more often.
And like nursing rooms.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, Bethany, today we took Peter to the zoo. And this was kind of like our first longer extended outing. And I had to nurse in public. And this was the first time that I've had to nurse in public.
Congratulations,
and my son
Marissa
is almost a year old, and this is my first time doing it. But I had like my milk snob cover, and Peter did great, and it worked out. But it was just so funny. But I also still have never had to change his diaper in a public place either. So
the first diaper change I ever had with Caden was in Target, as it should be.
That's right.
There good. You go. But yes, diaper change. And then I brought like our little cover to put down on the diaper change things because
definitely,
you know. And then in some airports, they sell diapers. It's like a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
You could buy a diaper, a changing pad cover, and a thing of wipes for like $250, which if we're talking about our per diaper cost, definitely on the high side. But, you know, if you're ever missing out on
a
diaper. They're not in every airport. It's just certain ones have them. And I think it's like a new thing that people are starting.
Well, there you go. More fun facts.
Those are the fun facts that I have. Do you have any other questions, Marissa, or anything that you're worried about when traveling?
I don't think I have anything else right now, Bethany.
I'm sure we're going to have a part two of this.
I'm going to text you at the airport.
We're going to have one where I travel by myself with a baby. Because I have to tell you, having someone else there to help is just so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could do it by myself. And I saw moms doing it by themselves. And I just said, you're doing an amazing job because this is stressful.
Yeah.
This is so hard. Like, it was so funny, too. Like, we had to reroute and, like, change some things for family stuff and one of my little brothers who doesn't listen to the podcast, so I don't think he'll be offended. And I'm not saying which one it was, but Joshua said that he was like, for something, he's like, why is it so hard to travel with a baby? Like, what's so hard? Like, can't you just do it by yourself? And I just laughed. I laughed so hard. I'm like, you don't even know.
You don't know.
You have no idea, sweet little childless person, which again, I love. I was single for such a long time, but I don't think I'm sorry, I was child did not have a child for such a long time. But I do not know if I ever was so naive to think that traveling with a baby was easy.
Easy.
Mm-mm. And, you know, the other thing, I kind of didn't really bring a ton of stuff for myself to do. Like when Caden was sleeping, my job was to hold his head up with my hand. And then, like, I read, like, a book on my phone or something.
Yeah.
So, like, my next time around, I just – like, I brought a backpack with, like, my iPad and my laptop and, like, all this stuff. I didn't even crack it open.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. That makes sense. You're busy.
You're busy baby.
That's right.
Well, and with that, I think we are done with this episode for the week. We hope you're having an amazing week and that everything is going well for you. If you have tips for us, I am sure there are many. Mm-hmm. We admit we do not know everything. We have touched the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, I haven't even taken a baby on a flight. And I tried to give tips.
The tip of the iceberg is where our tips are. We know this. We understand this. We're in the trenches with you, our friends. Mm-hmm. So please send us your tips. We are learning together. And if you are a pandemic mom who has not traveled with a baby yet, what is the scariest thing? Because I was stressed out like the week before and just packing all of the things. I packed an entire thing of diapers. Something else is I actually bought formula in Texas. Like I didn't even pack formula. I just bought some in Texas. So I was like, the less things that I have to pack, the better.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a really fun episode, Marissa, talking about traveling with babies. It gives me hope that the world is opening up again.
You're the optimistic one, Bethany.
I really am.
You have to keep giving me this optimism because
we're there. I mean, I took our first trip in over a year, and I actually got really emotional at one point because, like, traveling is a real big passion of mine. And, like, I lived on the road for so many years. And when I had a baby, I had planned to travel with him and to get him used to airplanes. And I had these dreams of going to events and speaking events with my mom, and she would help me with Caden. And all of those were dashed because of the pandemic. And it was kind of like me finally realizing a dream that I kind of forgot about, of just traveling with Caden and having a baby and being able to do fun things while also having a baby. Because, you know, I feel like sometimes we feel like babies tether us. And being able to travel with him, it was so fun.
Good.
It really was. And we were able to go do fun things and go to cool places. And if I can get Caden used to traveling, I just think that we can have a lot of fun adventures.
Yeah. And we get to experience some more normal things again.
Absolutely.
Good. Well,
awesome. I think that's it for us.
That's it. So don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already subscribed. And send us some tips. Send us a message. You can find us on Instagram at Motherhood and Money Show. And you can also send us an email at motherhoodandmoneyshow@gmail.com. Or you can head to our website, motherhoodandmoneyshow.com. Click on that button that says, what does it say, Bethany?
It says, send us your stories.
Send us your stories.
Send us a story.
Send us a story. And we'd love to hear your story. So, so with that, I think we will sign off for now and we'll hang out again next week.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.